The first reading is from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25, and you will find that on page 1208 in your Bibles. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open it for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thanks be to God.
You believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For a prayer as we come to God's word. Our loving Father, thank you that you sent your Son as a beautiful Saviour into the world that had lost its way with you. And we pray as we come to your word now, we would see the way to go is in following Jesus. So impress that upon our hearts as we open your word together. Be with us by your Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, everyone. And this is the part of the service where we do take a little time to open God's word together. If you've got a Bible there, you might like to turn back to John 14. It's there on page 1082. And that's where we'll be for these next few minutes together. We're in part of a series considering these I am sayings of Jesus, where he tells us about himself in many, seven different ways in all. This is number six, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's what we're doing this morning. We've been asking, haven't we, how do we know that God's way is the best way? How do we know that this really is the way to go? I came across this little book, which is called If I Were God, I Would Make Myself Clearer. And the little blurb on the back says this: if there really is something spiritual out there, wouldn't it be good if there were clear signposts to it? Surely God, if there is a God, wouldn't leave people with a bewildering variety of religious voices. If God exists, why doesn't he make himself clearer? I say that's a little bit of blurb just on the back of the book. And the thing this book is trying to do, the thing it's trying to explore, is with so many different religious voices out there, different religions on offer, can any of them be considered to actually be true? Or are they just sort of different pathways up to the top of the same mountain in the end? It's no surprise people get into a bit of a muddle with these things. Of course, the media doesn't help often. Back in the UK, I used to occasionally listen to The Thought for the Day on Radio 4 in the morning. Maybe you still tune into that or you hear another kind of thing somewhere else. And of course, they get contributions these days from all faiths and none. And through the week, you get this sort of ongoing cycle of a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of something else. Sort of all chucked into the pot, bit of religion from here and bit of something from there, and then kind of stirred around to make a rather unappetizing religious soup of the day, which is really no help at all, is it? So why doesn't God, the true God, simply make himself clear in the middle of all this muddle? Well, we are going to explore a stunning truth this morning, a claim from the lips of Jesus himself that there is a way that we can know God in his plans for his people, in his plans for now, and his plans for eternity, that God has made himself clear, and we need to open our eyes to see that clarity. Our first little heading for this morning, see your future home. We find ourselves in this reading on Maundy Thursday night, which is in itself a very significant point in the story of Jesus on earth. The night before he died at supper with his friends, here we are, they are talking after a meal. There's a great sense of sadness in the room. The disciples are rapidly coming to terms with the fact that Jesus, their beloved friend and soon-to-be saviour, is going to be leaving them for the last time. That sense of loss, that weight of occasion is so immense. Their hearts are deeply troubled by all of this. And from what we read here, you'd have thought actually it was the disciples who were facing the cross the next day. But it's not. That's Jesus. He knows what's coming to him. He's prepared himself for that. This time tomorrow, he will have been arrested and sentenced and nailed to a wooden cross to die for the sins of the world. And yet Jesus lays those concerns aside to minister to his friends in this their hour of need. Incredible, really, when you think about it. Verse 1 of chapter 14, Jesus says to his friends, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Words of comfort which arrive in the midst of that sense of loss and sadness and confusions. Jesus bringing clarity to what lay ahead. He brings hope, explaining clearly what he's about to do and where he's about to go. Explaining his mission, his purpose in these next 24 hours to return to his Father's home, going to the cross and going through the cross. His death and his resurrection leading the way back to his Father's house, where his Father dwells. He's going, he says, to prepare a place, to make arrival for all those who are going to come after him. And so do not let your hearts be troubled. I wonder what those preparations are as you think about, okay, yeah, Jesus is going to prepare things. So I don't think he's talking about like rolling up his sleeves and putting his pinny on and plumping up the cushions, perhaps doing a bit of decorating, make sure everything's spick and span. I don't think it's that sort of preparation. What we're talking about here, the preparation that Jesus is doing, is actually to make the way back in the first place, to get us from here on this earth, in this life, to this eternal home to which God is calling us. His death's for our sins, his being raised to life in glory, that's what he's preparing. And he says, if I go and do that, then I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We'll be there together in the end. That's the message, isn't it? And at the center of that house with many rooms, we'll see Father and Son gathered together, sat on their thrones in all their glorious splendor. Now, this is a picture of Wentworth Woodhouse in South Wales, away from where we used to live, a stately home. This is a house with many rooms. It has more than 300 rooms. Indeed, it's 365 windows in this house, one for every day of the year. You can wander around and take in a new view every day. Jesus is giving us a picture like that of a grand place, a big place, space enough for everyone, that we might anticipate what is to come in the future. Look forward to it, enjoy it now in our mind's eye before we enjoy it for real when the time comes later. And friends, isn't that just a wonderful thought, a wonderful thing to look forward to? A place, Jesus says, where God's people will gather, a sight to hold on to when things are hard or difficult or tough or even desperate. Now, we look forward to things in other ways in life, don't we? Think about perhaps the next trip that you've got planned, maybe home to see some loved ones. We imagine ourselves, don't we, seeing their faces as we come through the door at the arrivals, and that lovely embrace as we sort of hug them. They haven't hugged for a very long time, and it's just lovely to be back together again. Or maybe you imagine yourself just sort of knocking on the door of your family or your friends and seeing their face as the door opens, that lovely greeting, home again. And of course, it's not so much about the place that that happens, is it? It's all about the people. It's all about the one who we embrace when we get there. It might be a big, great big house, or it might be a little flat. Doesn't matter, does it? It's not about that. It's about the people. So if you're following Jesus today, this is the picture that Jesus wants you to hold on to. In the good times in life, yes, but in the sad and difficult times too. This is your forever home. Might not look like that, but you know, it's not about the place, it's about the people, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit in their wonderful unity together, and you being drawn into that holy family. And so that's the thing. Know where you're going, says Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled today, because you've got a great future. And Jesus has already now prepared the way back to it. These thoughts of things to come, they often get more precious, don't they? Perhaps as we reach the end of our own lives, as we reach those twilight years. That was certainly true for a man called Mark Ashton. He wrote this little book. It's a booklet, really. It's a very short little thing. On My Way to Heaven, it's called. And if you're following Jesus today, well, I hope these words might be helpful for you. He's a vicar in Cambridge before he died of cancer in April 2010. And before he died, he wrote these words. He said, "My death may be the end, the event with which my physical life comes to an end, but it will also be the moment at which my relationship with Jesus becomes fully complete. That relationship is the only thing that will make sense of my physical life now, and at my death it will become my everything." See, here was a Christian minister who knew where he was going, and he knew what he would find when he got there. The wonderful embrace of Father and Son. Welcome home, Mark. Welcome home. See, that's what faith in Jesus means, isn't it? A relationship now which gives me hope for a future. An absolute certainty in the future that God has already prepared for those who love him. And I say, when Mark Ashton came to his last days, his speech was limited. He couldn't really put a sentence together anymore. Just the odd word or two, and what he would say, home soon. Home soon. What Jesus says next comes as quite a surprise. Having told his friends about this future, he makes another incredible claim. He's the only way to get there. This claim comes about because Thomas is still a bit confused about things. And, you know, we relate to Thomas, don't we? You think, oh, that's me. I'm the Thomas in the room. I don't get this. What's going on? Well, let's pick up from verse 4. Jesus says to Thomas, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, here we find our "I am" for today, don't we? In verse number 6, off the back of Thomas's confusion. And in Thomas's mind, I think it goes a little bit like this. He says, sort of says, "Okay, Lord, I get it. You've told us about this lovely place, our Father's house, this amazing place and all the many rooms, but where is it? How can I get there? You tell us you're going there, but we don't know where it is. How can we get there if we don't know the way?" And you might be thinking, that Thomas has got a point, hasn't he? Where is it? Get the map out. It's not on here. How am I going to get there? How does Jesus answer? "I am the way the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer, of course. The only way to God. I am the way. The way from here to there is through me, he says, through his sacrificial death, through his mighty resurrection. A few weeks ago, one of our lovely camp team, this is a guy called Tom, he did a parachute jump to raise funds for the venture. Now, Tom's never done anything like this before. Clearly never jumped out of an aeroplane at 13,000 feet. And looking out of that plane door, can you imagine the scene? There you are, sat with your little thing and looking out the door, 2 miles from here to there. It's a long way, isn't it? Not least, you'd be asking yourself, what on earth am I doing here? Why did I sign up to this? How do you think he made it safely from the cabin of the aeroplane to the ground 2 miles below, having never done anything like that before? Very simply, he went with someone else. He strapped himself very firmly to someone who knew what they were doing, someone who did know the way, someone who'd done this loads of times before, an expert in these things. He'd been there, done that, and got the T-shirt to prove it. And this is something of what Jesus is saying to Thomas, and therefore to us. Don't worry about how you're going to get there, because I am the way that you're going to get there. Get strapped in, Thomas. We'll be off soon. It's how Jesus can become the way for us, of course. We unite ourselves to Jesus now, and he takes us with him to our Father's home in heaven. More than that, Jesus says, I am the truth. Claire very helpfully outlined some of these things this morning for the children. But because just as in the days of Jesus, we live, don't we, in this world of competing truth. Some people say God's like this. Some people say God's like that. Other people say there's no God at all. Still others, well, you have your truth. I'll have my truth. We just have to agree to disagree. But with so many ideas, so many religions on offer, we might be tempted to take the kind of all-inclusive approach here, mightn't we? A bit of this and a bit of that. Now, if you're as old as me and you were around in England back in the day, you remember Woolworths and the pick-and-mix counter. It was quite a treat for a little lad when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. You get your little bag and you go along the thing, a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of something else. It all goes in the bag, shake it all up. Pay at the end, and off you go. Whatever you fancy, it's yours for the taking. And as I say, we might be tempted with this approach when it comes to our faith and beliefs, maybe a bit of some kind of ancient meditation mixed with some Buddhist chanting, a side order of Christianity. But Jesus would want us to be careful thinking like that, wouldn't he? There are lots of different beliefs out there. Not all of them are true, he says. So Jesus wants us to hear this. I am the truth. The truth about who God is. The truth about what God is like. The truth about the world in which we live. About our problem of sin. The truth about ourselves. People made in the image of God, loved by him, and welcomed home by a Father who has made a way. Many of these ideas, they might not be mainstream, they might not be very popular amongst all those other ideas. But if we want to know what God is like, we need to look at Jesus, who is the truth about what God is like. And then he says, I am the life, because in the end, that is who he is, and that is what he has come to bring. Remember, Jesus is saying these things as the shadow of death is falling upon his own life. As death comes to Jesus, he says, I am the life. We saw that last week, didn't we, at the grave of Lazarus. Desperate sadness at a funeral turned to the most amazing joy as Lazarus walks out of his own tomb. Jesus brings life into the most desperate of places. And we see it again on the first Easter morning, don't we? The sadness of the cross. And the women who go to anoint the body, he's alive, I tell you. He has risen. This is another one of those things that there's a bit of now and a bit of not yet about it, and all sort of rolled into one. And because Jesus has come to bring the best life now for his people. That is to say, we will live our best lives when we live them with King Jesus right at the heart of things, when Jesus becomes our everything. Again, a couple of weeks back, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it in all its fullness." That is why he came in the first place, to give you life. Well, given the context of this chapter, and given the day which is to come for Jesus, he's also talking about life in eternity, the other side of the grave, when we make our home, our new home, in the place that God has prepared for us. And then to top all of this, Jesus wants to make it exclusive to him. Becoming God's children now and going home with God later, no one comes to the Father except through me, he says. I'm sure this is very deliberate from Jesus. He really does want to close down and close off all those other options that we might have been considering. So we stop thinking of Jesus as one of the ways to God. Jesus puts all his cards on the table. He says, "Follow me because I am the only way to God." And so here's the thing. Is that something that we're willing to go along with? Is that the faith we share together? It really is much easier to live life in a sort of inclusive kind of way, isn't it? And just, yeah, let's all just do our own thing and get on with whatever. But you see, Jesus doesn't want us to live like that. He says, "No, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And no one gets that apart from through me." But these are the words of Jesus speaking. And so as we listen, let's hear what he says. Finally, this morning, know the Father by knowing the Son. The final part of the reading. We were asking earlier, you know, why doesn't God make himself a bit clearer to people? Wouldn't more people believe in God if he made himself knowable a bit more? If he just came down and did some stuff, wouldn't more people follow? Well, perhaps we need to hear a bit more of this conversation with Jesus and his friends here now with Philip in verse number 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?" See, that's the key, isn't it, right there? Where Jesus declares, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father as well. Another pretty amazing claim that in getting to know Jesus, Philip and the other disciples have actually got to know their Heavenly Father already. How does that work? Well, because in Jesus, the man from heaven, the God-man from heaven, lives on earth in bodily form. All the fullness of God dwells in him. And so knowing the Son from heaven is the same as knowing the Father who sent him. We can look at Jesus standing on earth and we can say, God is here. He's knowable and he's come to be known. We sometimes see this likeness in families, don't we? We look at the kids and we say, "Oh, he's just like his dad." Or a little girl who does something quirky and whatever, and oh, a mum used to do that, we'd say. Those funny, quirky things they do as they grow up. Maybe you've seen it in your own kids. As you've grown up, you say, "Oh, my goodness, I used to do that when I was their age." And you see yourself in your children, like a little mini-me. I used to do it, and now they're doing it too. Well, look, let's hold on to this final truth. Like Father, like Son. As we know the Son, so we know the Father. How can we get to know God better? The simple answer, get to know Jesus better. That's how he explains to Philip. "Surely, Philip, you know me by now. If you know me by now, then you know the Father too." That's the simple answer. Get to know the things that Jesus did and said, the signs he performed, the lessons that he taught, get to know why he came, why he died, why he rose from the dead. Get to know Jesus in all these different ways, and you'll see into his heart. And as you see into the heart of Jesus, so you see into the heart of your Father in heaven as well. And Jesus said these things to comfort his friends at the supper the night before he died, telling them about his Father's home in heaven and himself as the only way to get there. You see, the thing is, God has made himself clear in coming into the world, being born as a baby to die on a cross, and saying to his people, come to me and come through me, and I'll take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So whatever we're going through, however we might be troubled in these days, in these times, trust in God and trust in his Son Jesus as the only way back to your heavenly home. The door stands open, ready to welcome you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for your kindness in these words from Jesus, the comfort they bring, the confidence that we can have in them, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, life in all its fullness now and forever in eternity, in that place that you call us back home. And we pray, Father, you would indeed build faith in us to trust Jesus in the things he says and the things he does, that we might be his followers today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Back to Sylvia now as we continue.
Please stand as we affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit as we continue in prayer.